The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It is Thursday, and we are really pleased to have you here on a great afternoon where so much has been going on, and we'll help you get ready for the season. The last time we talked to you on a Thursday, when we won football that night, we say hello to you, and we'll share some headlines with you right now. Jimbo Fisher being coy. Is that a surprise? Not naming his quarterback or center. Or even acknowledging that he hates the word despicable. Brian Kelly is close to naming a quarterback. Remember Brian Kelly? He is now at LSU, in case you've been underwater for about 9 months. Who will that QB end up being is the question. Georgia is asking for your help. In other words, we need help. We need money. Everybody else is getting money. Why not us? We're the national champs. Please give us some money in the plate this Saturday. Not Sunday, this Saturday. Diversity in life is a very important thing. And what about diversity in college coaching? Picture of Mike Loxley, who has done a really good job at the University of Maryland. He's the president of that association, and we'll talk a lot about that story and other things a little bit later on in the program. And cock-a-doodle-doo, is that what you think? How about a new name for the mascot? Big Spur? What happened to Big Spur?
I like that.
It's a very complicated matter, which we will not discuss with you because we're really not that interested. Anyway, we say hello to you on this Thursday afternoon. It has been quite a week, so we will deal with all those stories. Remember, the first game is Saturday morning. It's in Dublin. Are you going, Randy? No, Randy's not going. We have Northwestern and Nebraska. That's the opening game of the college football season. I hope the final game of the season is more interesting and compelling than the first game. Pete Thamel joining us, and I bet he'll be up early watching that game on Saturday morning. Pete Thamel, the insider for college football for ESPN, as Pete gets ready for his first full season. Pete, good afternoon. It seems like the first game has not happened since you came over to ESPN, but the offseason has been full of exciting things going on. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Paul, there's been no shortage. I actually think the first game is Western Kentucky, Austin Peay. In lovely Bowling Green, Kentucky, at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning.
So starts before the game in Dublin. I didn't realize
that the game in Dublin is on noon on Fox, and I believe the other game is 11 a.m. game on CBS Sports Network. So we'll have our thumbs calloused from the remote as we roll through the glory of Week Zero.
Well, Pete, don't tell anybody I'm saying this, but my first game is going to be Northwestern and Nebraska, if you don't mind.
I won't tell Coach Helton or Coach Walden from Austin Peay. I will keep that to yourself. And let's be honest, Paul, if this was Week 6, we wouldn't be watching Northwestern play Nebraska.
No, we really wouldn't. Before we get too deep into the more important issues, this Week 0, it seemed like a good idea a couple of years ago. I remember being in Orlando for Miami and Florida, and there have been a couple of other games. But why aren't we seeing more games this weekend? Because it seems like a great opportunity for college football to have the stage to itself, which really it doesn't have very, very long once the NFL starts.
Well, I think this, Paul, I think we're going to see Week Zero creep continue. And as our the fearless leaders of the sport the next iteration of the playoff. And right now it still looks like it's going to be 12. It's just a matter of when. I do feel like Week Zero is going to become Week One. I can't tell you when magically fingers are going to be snapped and that's going to happen, but I'm pretty confident that we will see that at some point in the next 5 years, where everything gets moved up, rolled up. And there are some advantages. And I was talking to, Mike Norvell this week. They're at week zero against Duquesne. And, you know, he liked the fact that they get two byes, and it helps space things out a little bit. And they obviously play LSU in week one, so they get a game to prepare for that, too. But I believe they go to Louisville after that, which, again, the LSU game's going to have more eyeballs, but the Louisville game's going to mean a lot to, you know, a program that really needs to win and be competitive in the ACC. So, but I do think we'll see an evolution, Paul, of week zero from a novelty to normalcy in the not-so-distant future.
And, Pete, you mentioned the CFP. A lot of places to begin, but I'll start there because it. Yeah, maybe I'm using too much logic, which is never a good thing to do in this sport, but it seems like with some of the issues that the leagues that a year ago were celebrating that alliance a year ago this week are struggling now to remain relevant. Is it possible we could see a reexamination of that CFP at 12, maybe earlier than we originally thought?
Yeah, with alliances like those, who needs enemies, right? So here's the latest on sort of the playoff ruminations. So this was last Monday. There was a Zoom among, and I'm going to try to really hard to get my jargon right here, the College Football Playoff Board of Managers, which means it was presidents, no commissioners, and they met, and there was some chatter on that call about attempting, there's 4 years left on the CFP, to attempting to get a new deal that would knock the last 2 years off and start the new CFP after that. That chatter has been resumed because we're learning much of the obstacles to the college football playoff were more performative than they were actually rooted in any kind of passionate realities. And so with, you know, the automatic qualifications that the Big Ten was asking for, that quote unquote demand seems to have dissipated. And that was honestly the biggest, the biggest obstacle in everything. But it was, you know, there was a lot of, I think there's a lot of truth to reality that Fox just kind of wanted to be an obstacle. And now that the Big Ten deal is done and the rhetoric tenor has changed, the timing will be hard, and there's still some issues to go, the calendar being among them, which is why the week zero chatter is so prominent right now, Paul. But I really do feel like the next iteration will be 12. I think 16 is really hard because you'd have to give up a lot of the juice of the from the conference title games. We may get to a point where conference title games become even less relevant than they are now, but there are also big TV numbers, and giving those up would be hard for networks that are entrenched in their contracts. So, you know, my educated prediction is that we end up at 12, and the variable becomes, do we start it, I guess, in 26, or do we start it two years before that? I wouldn't say there's momentum to start it earlier again, but I think that conversation has been revived.
Well said. Pete Thamel joining us from ESPN. Pete, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Big Ten deal came out, and it's just interesting how quickly the narratives change. Kevin Warren, who was really a punching bag for many a year ago as the Big Ten was not playing while the other three were. He's made a pretty amazing comeback. Even HBO the other night named him the most powerful person in college football, which I'm sure upset you because I thought you were the most powerful person in college football. So,
Paul, we all know you are. So
I'm curious,
that's really
for a guy that seemed to withstand a lot of criticism. Kevin Warren seems to be doing pretty well right now.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, Paul, the television deal that the Big Ten executed and Fox helped them tremendously execute is the standard of the sport right now, and it has certainly got the attention of everyone in sports, including the folks in Birmingham. Kevin Warren has made it a point to celebrate his victory, and I think some of that is rooted from from the fact that he got beat up pretty good during COVID in that period of time. So I think the reality probably is, Paul, that things weren't as bad for Kevin Warren, and he probably wasn't deserved all the criticism he got during the COVID period. And, you know, his role in this has probably been celebrated a little bit more maybe than it should, right? Like it's the quarterbacks get all the blame and all the glory. So, but look, he has done certainly a nice job getting that league what it deserves. And there's no question that credit is deserved there. And look, you know, NBC and CBS paying a lot of money for what projects to be pretty mediocre football is a big accomplishment. You know, those next tier games in your league commanding the dollars they have is really impressive.
Pete, you're plugged in pretty tightly to all circuits of college football, and you can go up and down the dial. You can flip to your favorite Twitter follow and see any number of people speculating. We had one here the other day. Maybe a couple more from the Pac-12, ACC. I mean, it's endless. Help us separate at least what we believe to be true right now and from crazy and wild rumors. I mean, what's going on out there in expansion?
So in the immediate future, Paul, meaning like the next calendar year, I don't think there'll be another round of Big Ten expansion. And, you know, the best way to follow along expansion is to follow the contracts and follow the money, right? USC and UCLA were relatively easy tracks because the Pac-12 was at the end of its deal and they can leave without any financial penalties or any legal hassles. So, okay, I guess UCLA's got a couple legal hassles, but I don't foresee those being too big of obstacles for them to pass. If there was a desire amongst the Big Ten, now the Big Ten office clearly wants to keep expanding. That's why those desires are still out there. I am not convinced that Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and USC want to keep expanding, because from everyone I speak with, if they did bring in that next crew of schools, they would struggle to do so at the same pro rata rate. Like they would not be worth, you know, the $66 million a school or whatever that number is. And I don't, you know, it's common sense in business, Paul, right? Like does Ohio State want less money? No. Does Michigan want less money? No. Does Penn State want less money? No. And if you're USC, you got to remember, one of the allures of going to the Big Ten was an exclusivity west of Texas. You are the premier destination. You have a huge thing to sell that Oregon, Washington, the Bay Area schools, et cetera, can't sell. And it's been very, USC has been very clear that they like that exclusivity. They like that it's just them and UCLA, and they obviously feel like they have a better sell and a better history than UCLA. So I do think there are internal headwinds that are going to slow that down. Now, that said, 5 years from now, is the Big Ten bigger? Yes. And again, it's follow the contracts, Paul. So the grant of rights, whatever happens with the Pac-12, Big 12, and especially Oregon and Washington, can they sign on to their next deal, whatever that is, with the flexibility to leave at some point for, you know, what's probably going to be double the money? So, you know, and I think I've said this on your show before, the one thing I could see where something could happen immediately is they say, all right, we're going to go sign an 8-year grant of rights in our next TV deal. And the Big Ten says, all right, well, we're going to want to expand before those 8 years. And maybe that sort of forces them to do it by knife point a little bit. That's the one scenario, Paul, where I could see things happening. But ultimately, numbers dictate it. And I've been told repeatedly that the numbers don't work right now for some sort of immediate expansion. Quite frankly, if the numbers worked, it probably would have been done by now.
Pete Thamel with us as we begin the program. Hold on just a second, Pete. A couple of other things we do want to get from you. It's not often we get a chance to bleed you dry here on information, and we will continue with Pete right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, we're a week away from opening night in the SEC. Tennessee kicks it off right here. And Pete Thamel with us. Pete, I wanted to ask you about something Saban just said. We played a clip. He was asked about a book by John Talty, and he said he hasn't read it, doesn't know whether it's good or bad, can't endorse it. He went on and on and on. But the most interesting thing is he said at some point he will write a book when he has nothing else to do. So which brings me to the question, he just extended himself until he's almost 80 years old. What, are we supposed to read anything into these extensions? I realize Jimmy Sexton cranks these out for all of his top guys, and it seems like they keep escalating off each other. But what does a Saban extension at this point really mean?
I think a Saban extension is, you know, largely to stay at market and largely for recruiting, right? Like, because if you're recruiting for someone, you're recruiting them for 3 or 4 years. Most of the guys Alabama wants, they hope they only stay 3.
yes.
But I think it's a way to say, hey, look, Nick will be here the entire time you're here. Now, obviously, if it's 2030, that's your younger brother, he'll also be here long enough to do that. But I do think largely, I have a hard time imagining Nick Saban there at 2030. I don't think I'm going on any limb saying that. But I do think, Paul, that Nick Saban is going to coach until he stops winning in the way that he's winning now. Now, does the first 3-loss season mean he's going to retire? I don't know. But he has the best talent and team on paper going into this season. I think Ohio State's a close second. But if Nick Saban has a program where they have the most talent going into the season every year, I think he's going to continue coaching as long as his health and his will to do it continues. I remember talking to one of his former assistants a couple years ago. Remember he had that hip surgery, I think, and came in like the next day.
Right.
Does that ring a bell, Paul?
There it
was
does.
Like, you know,
sure
some
does.
Some famous story, and assistant said to me, like, Nick Saban likes football like I did when I was 12. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a passion and love for football that he has that is so unique, and it is so deep-rooted, and it is, you know, it is his heartbeat in a lot of ways.
You mentioned Ohio State, and, yeah, we talk about how great Alabama is supposed to be, but if you look at Ohio State, and the polls support this, but you know that personnel and you know that coaching staff. What can you tell us about the Buckeyes and what could really be an amazing year for them? I know that sounds like every year, although last year was not.
Yeah, I think if you look at this Ohio State roster, it really has a chance to be a special offense. It is a more balanced talent on offense than probably Alabama. I mean, simply put, they have the best wide receiver in college football, and it's not even close in Jackson Smith and Jigba. And Alabama, there's a little bit of ambiguity on who are going to be their go-to guys at receiver. Look, they have talented guys there. They are going to figure it out. They have the Heisman Trophy winner. I think Gibbs at tailback is a Heisman sleeper. I think he's going to have a monster year and end up as a top 20 pick. Scouts are really giddy after watching his Georgia Tech film and then thinking of him going behind Alabama's line, which won't be one of the best lines that Alabama's had, Paul, but it's going to be a pretty darn good one with everyone there coming back. But to go back to Ohio State, when you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba and you have Marvin Harrison Jr., who is just a physical specimen we saw dominate the Rose Bowl, and then you have C.J. Stroud, who's the Heisman runner-up, and Travion Henderson, who's only a second-year player, is as talented as a back. Like, I think you put he, Bijan Robinson, Gibbs in, you know, in the same conversation of just the elite backs in the sport, and you have two first-round picks on your offensive line in Paris Johnson and DeJuan Jones at Ohio State, who's just a mammoth human. I really think this could be one of Ryan Day's better offenses, if not his best offense, and he's had only really elite high-end offenses. What we need to see from the Buckeyes is, does the defense evolve? Ryan Day is going to his fourth full season at Ohio State, Paul. He's still young as a head coach, and this was clearly the most difficult offseason for him just in terms of making hard decisions. And, you know, with Kerry Combs leaving for Cincinnati, with Al Washington being fired as a linebacker coach and ending up at Notre Dame, those were significant personnel changes. And Ohio State, give them credit, they went out and they got Jim Knowles, who was – the best defensive coordinator in the country last year, and they brought him in and paid him a ton of money. And right now we're seeing a different kind of defense at Ohio State. They were very predictable pre-snap last year. They're going to be much better schemed up. They're probably going to play more with an extra defensive back. And is it the best personnel we've seen at Ohio State on defense in the last decade? No, they've had better personnel. They have very talented young defensive linemen. JT Tuamalo, I didn't nail that right. Jerry Emig has been working with me on that one. But they have the number one defensive line prospect from the country from 2 years ago. Now he's going into his second season. They have Jack Sawyer, who was the top defensive line prospect alongside JTT, and they'll be good up front. There's questions at linebacker, and can the scheme erase some of the maybe moderate talent deficiencies compared to past years is kind of the big overriding question there as we go forward. But make no mistake, like they are right a half step behind Alabama, and you know the growth of that defense and what it becomes is going to be determined whether they are a playoff participant type team or a potential playoff winner.
And, Pete, I know that there aren't a lot of programs that are in this category of Alabama and obviously Ohio State, but you know, forgetting the polls, but from people that you talk to, I mean, you have sources all over the country. Is there another school that you're getting legitimate buzz from that, you know, could be a serious contender when we get around to not only the championship weekend in December, but toward the playoffs?
Yeah, so I'm more skeptical, Paul, of Georgia than most. Just they lost a historic haul of draft picks, an actual, literally the most draft picks ever in one place. And I just think their quarterback obviously won the national title, and he's very good, and he's a solid college quarterback. But does that talent drain and just the level of domination on defense, does that leave them a little bit more reliant on Stetson Bennett, which, again, he's very good, but he is not what you're seeing at Alabama and Ohio State and some other places. Does that get exposed a little bit more? I think that's a fair question to just with the depth. Look, if they roll it back and they are a top five team again, Kirby has recreated Alabama essentially, and I want a little bit more empirical evidence that all those people can grow into the same type of dominant roles that they had last year before I say they're a surefire playoff team. The team that I like, and I don't think I've like made any formal picks yet, but I think the team that I think can make the playoff is Utah. I think they can go to Florida and win in week one. I think they have a veteran calloused quarterback in Cam Rising, who's done a nice job. They have some elite talent at tight end, at corner. Utah has always been, you know, going back to the early 2000s there, elite on the offensive and defensive line. You're never going to go ragdoll around a Utah team. That's where Kyle Whittingham has built the guts of his program, and that's where they're going to be strong again today. So you know, as much as I'm looking forward to being at Notre Dame Ohio State opening weekend, I actually think Florida Utah is going to be a better game. I think that's going to be a close game. I think it's a super intriguing game. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how Utah holds up in the heat, which we're going to assume it's going to be hot in the swamp, right? And, you know, and then Anthony Richardson, to me, is just one of the – he's the single most fascinating player in the country to me. He's a guy who struggled with some injuries. He's shown unbelievable talent. I've had scout after scout volunteer, like, just – hosannas to me this offseason about him, like a bigger, faster Cam Newton type projections. There's people who think he could be the number one pick in the draft. So I just think there's a couple elements that make that game fascinating. But I still, you know, if I have to, you know, it's sort of that ambiguity around the fourth team, Paul. I think Utah is my fourth team.
Great stuff. Pete Thamel, really appreciate you coming by for an extended period. We will talk to you very soon. Always great to chat with Pete Thamel. And let us tell you what we're going to be doing the rest of the afternoon. Roman will be in here in a few minutes. Ralph Russo, the head of the AP. Interesting story with Patrick Young that you will want to hear. And Clark Lee live from Hawaii as the Commodores get ready for their opener Saturday night. We'll take a break. Your phone call's right around the corner.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back in tomorrow, special day here on the program. It's like when the recipients get the knock on the door from the Hall of Fame. We will announce our first ever caller ring of honor. You've seen the finalists. The inductees will be announced tomorrow. And these are the finalists one more time. Bobby, Chris, I-Man, Jim, Legend, Jim from Tuscaloosa, Larry, Jeff, Shane, Charles, and Tammy. Who you got? Back to the calls we go, and somebody that probably should be on that list is Hugh from Deep Gap. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. 18 months ago, when the whole discussion about NIL came up, I made a call to this program about mixed feelings. On the one hand, 80 years of passing out money under the table was apparently going to come to an end, and we were going to be more open and document transparently what was being done. At the same time, at that time, I expressed deep concern about it being used as a recruiting tool. Here's the deal. NIL should be a reward and not an enticement for recruiting high school or transfer portal players. 1 year of a successful athletic participation and classroom academic work needs to be an absolute requisite for NIL contracts. There's no athletic league, either pro or amateur, that could or should sustain the disgusting auction of football talent we are currently experiencing. Commissioners Warren and Sankey have very high reputations in terms of leadership. Let's put it to work. They need to canvass their ADs and forge ironclad restrictions to the effect that I've just discussed. None other than Coach Gene Stallings suggested several weeks ago that ADs were the answer to resolve the problem, and I totally agree. Quality of football culture and coaching, not cash deals, should be the primary recruiting tool for all football prospects. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I respect what you're saying there, Hugh, but I think we're at this place where there's no stopping it, and I continue to snicker when I hear coaches, you know, feigning outrage when we all know what is going on here.
Well, the truth of the matter is, if the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten, as the big dogs in college football, make it mandatory to stop that process, and that's supported by a majority of the athletic directors, it'll become a fact of life. You don't worry about lawsuits. What you're worried about is sustaining the type of program that that can render the proper results. I think most football coaches are genuinely concerned about the unregulated nature of it. A few will not. A few are benefiting. And it would do us all well good to know who the hell they are.
Yeah, but
because
Hugh,
it's not good for football,
is,
and it's not good for the kids.
The commissioners and all the top people in the sport could have done something a long time ago, but they chose not to, and that's why we're
well, maybe the time has come for them to take a different course of action, because Paul, what's going on now is not acceptable.
Well, Hugh, thank you for the call. It may not be acceptable to you, but it is the norm, and it's, you know, you have to be adjustable. And I know a lot of us, as you know, we move on in life, and, you know, we become stubborn, and but change is really what's made this country so great. And I think those who have been resistant to change have found themselves in the back. Thank you for the call. As much as I disagreed with it, I will respectfully go to AC next in Canada. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So I guess tomorrow you're going to determine the finalists for Ring of Honor?
No, tomorrow we are going to announce who will be in the first class of the Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay. Got you. All right.
I've seen the list, AC. Somehow you weren't even nominated, but I think you made it.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if you want to go straight ahead, I told you, I don't care. But do what you got to do. I'm rooting for Tammy, all right? This is who I'm rooting for. If Tammy doesn't win, I'm rooting for Charles in Real Town, all right? This is who I'm rooting for. But this is something that I'm thinking about fans this morning. I have a better idea. How about $48 as soon as I hang up all the way to Friday 7 o'clock? Let me have 48 callers to call in and say they want AC banned, and I'm going to take 2 weeks off starting this Monday to all the way to next 2 weeks. So this is what's going to happen. 48 votes, I'll count as soon as I hang out all the way to Friday, 7 o'clock. So they have today and tomorrow. But let me tell you who is not eligible to vote. Your regular callers, you are not eligible to vote because I don't like you anyway, just like the way you don't like your tribal chief. So let me see. Cockroach, monkeys, all the animal reference names like Cat Daddy, Dog Daddy, you are not eligible either. I want humans. Let me see what these humans are capable of, because I hate you anyway. I hate the next caller and the one after. But Mr. Feinbaum, you know I love you. Gotta go.
Did he tell us, Randy, that he's gone after tomorrow for 2 weeks?
Hallelujah. It's like a vacation.
If he can get, well, he needs 48 people to say, I'll just go ahead and overrule all those 48 and say he's gone. And we will live happily ever after. We'll take a break. We've had a busy first hour. Pete Thamel, many more guests to come. Roman Harper in the next hour. We will be right back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, brother. How you doing? It's the Paul Feinbaum.
Matt, what's up?
Oh, not much, brother. I wanted to call and address that caller. What's the name? The Miami Hurricane fan? The moron? Think he's going to beat us at Kyle Field?
JK.
Man, this team's a joke. They ain't going to beat us. What a whoop their ass so bad. It's going to be really funny. And I want to talk about your Ringer Hall of Fame. I think there's a lot of good people on there. I'm glad Tammy's on there, too. And at the same time, look, I get Jim is part of the Hall of Fame, but he's still a moron, Paul. He doesn't know diddly squat about sports. He doesn't know a damn thing about it. So he should just stop calling and go work for Fox News. When he talks about dumb politics, he's just a straight-up idiot on sports, Paul. And I got one question to ask you, my friend.
Sure, go ahead.
Who are the most influential people in sports, are coaches and players who change the game in a way when a lot of people with different color skin could not play?
Who were they? Is that your question?
Yeah, who were they? Coach or player that changed that all?
You know, I think there are a lot of answers to that. I would choose Eddie Robinson, the head coach at Grambling, because he showed a lot of people from a national standpoint, you know, what young black players could do. And he was passionate. He had a lot of friends, and it took a long time. But he took Grambling all over the country and all over the world. And I think he helped. He was, you know, again, it started much earlier than his national prominence. But even in the 60s and 70s, Eddie Robinson's program was known throughout the country, if not the world. I appreciate it. It's a good question, though, and it's worth a lot more exploration at some point in time. We had Pete Thamel on earlier, and we certainly appreciated his deep dive into not only what has happened all summer, but the first week of the season. Let's get back to the calls right now. And Jim is up next in Tuscaloosa.
You didn't address the guy, but I'm just going to pressure you because, you know, this is crazy. I want you to be honest. I think you will. I think you, of course, I know what you know about me, but will you address that moron? And he's a moron, Paul, that little punk, that little wimpy imbecile that's 35 going on about 4 years old. I just want you to address him about, do I know sports? Do I know ball? I don't talk anymore, but do I know it? Does anybody on the show know it better than me? And you saw me in the prime of my day when I was on this show. You know, so just be honest and tell, since you didn't say anything, somebody, maybe a bunch of people think Jim doesn't know nothing about ball. Would you at least say something about it, Paul?
Yeah, when we talked ball, you were supreme, and I've made that clear many, many times. I didn't really feel like he deserved or needed to be needed to get a response. It was just
well, my point is this, Paul. My point is this. Maybe he's not heard me say anything about any kind of sports or ball, which I have said some things about golf here recently and things like that. You know, even some stuff about anyway. But my point is, that little moron needs to know how out of line, how wrong, how stupid he sounds, and how crazy he is for making a statement like that, because he knows nothing about me. Like most of these people, they know nothing about me, but they don't know what I know about ball because I've not talked it much.
Why do you think you're so misunderstood, Jim?
What?
Why do you think you're so misunderstood by
some? It's just simple, Paul. A lot of these people are new to the show. You know, and I hadn't talked much about ball in the last 2 or 3, 4 years. You got John from Louisville. You got some other a lot of new listeners really don't know what I know, and I'm not trying to brag, but you know what I know, Paul. And that's all I want to do is make it clear to these people. You don't know what you're talking about if you don't think I know something about sports. I really believe I know more about sports than anybody on the show. I'm not trying to brag when I say that. I firmly believe that.
Than anybody on
would
the
you dispute
show?
That? Paul?
I mean, that's quite a statement to say that you know more about
well,
ball
I say,
than anybody
I you,
else
would
on
you
the
dispute
whole show.
That?
What was that?
Would you dispute what I just said?
Well, I would like more than 30 seconds to think about it before I agreed. I mean, I think I'm pretty clear on what you have accomplished on this program. You know that.
I know, but that's still
You're asking me to confirm your statement that you know more about ball than any other person that's
well, no,
played.
Let me all right, I'll rephrase it. I know as much about it as anybody.
Okay, well, let me think. Hey, Randy, would you agree?
No, Randy
doesn't know anything about me, Paul. Randy doesn't know a thing. He's like Matt.
Sure?
He doesn't know anything about me. Come
How
on, Paul. Give me a break. He doesn't know anything about me.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.